Good morning, Trinity. We're glad that you're here, each of you, this morning. We'd like to have you acknowledge or be prepared to fill out a couple of these cards. One is for prayer requests, if you have any prayers that you would like to have us include. We're going to ask you to fill those out right away because they're going to be picked up right after the third scripture reading is read. And so be prepared to do that. And then also we'd like to have you just let us know you're here. And at that point, we can acknowledge that. And if you have any phone number information or contact information that's changed, please include that. We'd like to encourage our visitors to do the same. So welcome to each of you. But now if you could stand and greet each other. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello, Doris, how are you? Good to see you. How about you? When I was in the district office, I pray to get more opportunity to preach.
Yeah, he's giving it to you.
Four times a week. Near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. O God, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, grant us humility and childlike faith, that we may please you in both will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay, the Old Testament reading for today is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 11. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew, Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with this fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you have I committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, God. The epistle lesson is from the book of James, chapters 3 and 4. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first and pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in its peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, "He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace"? Therefore, it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel for this day is written in the book of St. Mark, the 9th chapter. The disciples went out from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, and he asked them, "What were you discussing in the way?" But they kept silent. Far on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And Jesus sat down, and he called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And Jesus took a child and put him in the midst of them. And taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Here ends the reading of today's gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. poured out upon you this day. Our text is taken from Mark chapter 9, beginning at the 30th verse. I'll have the projectionist go to that if you can watch it up here, or if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, grab your Bible just in front of you. Mark chapter 9, verse 30 to 37. If you remember asking your kids as they're growing up, or a young child, what do you want to be when you grow up? I remember one of our boys wanted to be a one of the people that brought cable TV into your house. That was an aspiration, but he loved TV, and he said, "That little tiny wire brings TV into your house," and he was all excited because where did that cable lead out into the outdoors world? And up the street and out through the country or wherever those satellite dishes were. I remember somebody asked my grandson, now a generation later, who was standing at the back greeting people. And he said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And Anders looked at him and he says, "I want to be a doctor." Then Tom Fingers looks at Andrews and he says, "But I thought you might want to be a pastor since you're shaking everybody's hands." He said, "Okay, I'll be a pastor doctor." So what do you want to be when you grow up? Mary Jean, have you thought about that? What do you want to be when you grow up? That's really what the meaning and purpose of life should be answered in some of these texts when we start to think about it. What is the thing that will give us purpose and joy in life? I want you to know that it is my belief, as I look at this text and others in Scripture, that it is found, that is, the meaning and purpose of life, not in living life, but in giving life. You and I are called to be servants. The Greek word for that is doulos. A slave is actually the translation. You and I are called to be slaves for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you probably didn't think about that as you woke up this morning, got dressed to come to church. "Oh, good, I think I'm going to be a slave today." But in essence, that's what you've been since the day you became a believer in Jesus Christ. All that you and I have of servants of being in the Lord's army as a Christian is to not only have such a life that is filled with meaning and purpose and joy, but to find a life that is worth living, that gives life-changing, life-touching sort of way that there's much excitement in. I don't know about you, but I know I read the statistics and that over 70% of the people that go to work tomorrow morning are going to a job they do not like and find very little satisfaction and enjoyment in. I'm sorry if you're one of them. I love the fact of being called to serve in the Lord's army. But I am not the only one. You too are. You too, you also are called to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at least as you look at it, you have the opportunity, like me, to touch lives, to reach lives, to touch them in a way that is bringing meaning and purpose and joy to others. That moment that you can move from the mundane, everyday routine of life to that magic moment of seeing on a child's face or an adult's face the joy of just being shown an act of kindness, of offering a prayer, of standing in support, of being lifted, uplifted, served and encouraged because God has allowed you and me the same opportunities in a variety of places to be servants, doulos, slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul said it this way. He said he wants us to learn to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. He says, "This is your service, a living sacrifice, a life that is lived to serve others in service to God." Now, the first lesson that Jesus really taught his disciples about servanthood in today's text was found in Mark 9. It's in that next verse, very much in the front there. Verse 30. The Son of Man, he said, is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later. The very first lesson on discipleship was learned through the eyes of the disciples. As we see and watch and listen to them, what do we find out? Jesus had just said he was going to be dead. He would be killed. He would be gone. And that his disciples did not hear the rest, that he would rise again on the third day. They didn't understand it. They just knew that Jesus, the one they'd been following, the one they'd left their businesses for, their families for, that Jesus, this one was going to be gone. They'd seen the masses of people that were coming and gathering. They'd seen the miracles and the healings and all that Jesus had done. And they didn't want it to stop. It was going so well. But Jesus said he was going to be killed. So the disciples started talking on their way to Capernaum. You know, Capernaum was the city where most of the miracles of Jesus occurred. And the disciples talked amongst themselves, and they realized that their situation was quite tenuous. What does all of this mean? They asked that all-time favorite Lutheran question, what does this mean? As you and I go through life, is it sometimes tenuous for us? A doctor's visit where news that is not so good is shared? A job that doesn't seem to be going the way you hoped it would? A financial situation that you seem to be caught up in and so bad it's devastating unto you and to your family? The situation of tenuousness of life are so pervasive that it'd take a long time to read through the entire list. But you and I are living in some of those tenuous times, wondering, what's it all going to turn out? How can I get back in control? How can I come to an understanding? And you see what the disciples were speaking of? They were asking each other, which of us is going to be the greatest? Which of us is going to stand in the stead of where Jesus was? Who's going to take charge? Because we all know in a vacuum, power is never vacant. Something will fill it. Someone will step in. Something will take its place. Which one of us is going to step in is what they asked. Listen to what Jesus teaches. It's so opposite the way the world thinks. The disciples were talking about who's the greatest, who's the strongest, who's the best, who could do it the best. Jesus says the focus of servanthood is external, not internal. It's not how you get control of things or come out on top. Jesus bent down and talked to all 12 of his disciples. And this is what he said in verse 35. If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all, and a servant of all. Jesus focused on the external. He thought he would have his disciples move from selfishness to selflessness. He showed them what he meant when he died upon the cross on Calvary. And you see here, our servanthood can only be understood in view of Calvary's cross. Jesus, think of it with me if you will, is the first over all things, the preeminent one over all of creation. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is a servant of servants, though he be the Son of God. He emptied himself of his life and placed himself in submission and died even a death upon the cross. Our life is to be more involved than in just living it. It's about giving it. On Calvary, Christ truly became a servant of all, last of all, and he became servant of all. As he stood before those who accused him, beat him, and mocked him, he remained silent. And you might say, why? But the real answer he did was for you. He was silent for you so that that mocking, that beating, that suffering could be born in his body so that you and I could be saved. As he was sentenced to die before Pontius Pilate, he thought of you and he thought of me. As he was led away to be crucified, he willingly carried not only the weight of his cross, but also the burden of your sins and mine. As they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, and the pain was difficult to bear, there he suffered, for he knew that it was his blood that was buying our very souls back from hell to be placed in heaven. As he was dying in your place and in mine, he looked up to his Father in heaven and he said, "It is finished. Ta telestai." And in the Greek it means it's ultimately finished. Nothing more could be added. It's perfect. As Jesus rose, his head from that cross, as he is dying in agony and pain, he prayed. Not for himself, but he prayed for you, and he prayed for me. And he said, "Father, forgive them." Jesus, a servant. Jesus, a servant of all servants. Jesus, the ultimate doulos. And when he rose on Easter morning, he showed himself to his disciples, and the certainty of his victory over death and the grave. And he assures us that he lives, that so also shall you and I live. His victory is our victory. Now, this isn't the end of our story, or sermon for that matter. My friends, in Christian life goes beyond the grave. It goes beyond Calvary's cross. What I mean is that it is just from the Calvary's cross that Christianity was born. This is the beginning, not the end of the Christian's journey. This is not the sum total of our faith or the application of it to our life. In fact, it's just the beginning. While you and I stand in the shadow of the cross and seeing inside of the empty tomb, we see the victory and the value of his life, but also our life. And we see there that the power of such a victory and such a life for you and for me is not in just living it, but it is truly in giving it, of becoming a holy and living sacrifice for Jesus, of being one who is willing to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about living not just life, but abundant life. Life that's lived here as well as there. It's now as well as then. Do you remember the story of Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place? Some of you may have read the book also. But just to recap very quickly, the story is that Corrie Ten Boom's family were sympathetic to the Jewish people who were being placed in concentration camps by the German Nazis. And as a result, they were hiding them and then getting them out through the underground, if you will, railroad, and allowed them to go out into safety and find new places to live and to have family and life and live together again. And they'd done this for many, many Jewish people. But then the Nazis found out about it. And they took up the Corey's family and they separated them. The mother and the father separated, and all the children separated except for these two sisters, Corrie, the younger, and Betsy, the older. Well, inside of that concentration camp, Betsy had become so weakened by life there that she could barely pick up her shovel. And the guard whipped her and beat her, and she saw that he was getting no place, and Corrie looked at the wound and she said, "Betsy, look, you're bleeding." And the blood was going through her coat. Betsy took Corey's hand and placed it onto the wound. And her sister took her hand and placed it there and said, Corey, what do you see on your hand? What I see is Jesus. I saw Jesus' blood, which was shed for me, is now flowing from my body for these. She saw Jesus, even inside of a concentration camp. That changed Corey's heart from hatred to love and hope. She knew now that nothing could separate her from the love of God in Christ Jesus. She knew that somehow she could make it through all of this misery and suffering, and her life could be used in a different way to give those who were suffering and dying and being defeated in such a horrible life and place. She believed that somehow she could make a difference by becoming a holy and living sacrifice, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I invite you to look around our church family and see your brothers and sisters in Christ singing praises to the Lord. I hope you'll go home and pray for them. Some of them are hurting. Some of them have burdens that maybe you don't know about. And some of them just need a helping hand. Some of them would be so blessed by your prayer. I hope you'll pray for me too. I also take note of those people you don't see today singing God's praises. I want you to go home and pray for them and maybe even give them a call and just say, we missed you. You okay? Invite them over. If that's a blessing to them, it will be to you. Are you willing to be a servant? Do you see someone lonely? Why not visit them? Invite them over to your place also. Do you see someone who's afraid? Could you speak with them? Do you see someone who needs a prayer? Could you pray for them? Do you see someone who is frustrated with life? Could you listen to them, love them, help them? Do you see a mom who is simply mommed out? Can you invite them and offer them your opportunity to babysit for them? Do you see a fellow worker who is overworked and underappreciated? Give them a hand. Say a kind word. Reach out to them and encourage them, but work alongside of them. You may have someone right now in your own mind who this might be, but as a servant, I know you, Trinity. I know the love of Jesus that rests in most of your hearts, the depth of it, and I believe you're just going to do it. You're going to reach out and you're going to help them. You're going to touch them. You're going to pray for them. And this will be a better place for it as you love those who simply need a little help. There's a story that I'd like to share with you about a friend who's dying in the hospital and his friend Bob, who is a Christian. Bob and his friend had carpooled together for 17 years. They'd worked the same job for the same company, and they'd worked most of it side by side. Then Bob found out that his friend had terminal cancer. Bob had never spoken with his friend about Jesus. Oh, he'd thought about it many a time, but he'd always put it off. Always put it off. Finally, Bob got the courage up. As he went to the hospital, he said, I'm going to tell him about Jesus this time, this visit. And Bob went in and he said to his friend, I have to tell you something. I know you're dying, and I know I will die too. But I want to tell you before you go that I want to see you again. because I believe there is a place after this life called heaven. And I want to tell you how to get there. The Bible tells us that Jesus died to pay for all of our sins. And by his death, but more importantly, his resurrection, he then was able to promise us life everlasting. Bob said, I believe that if you believe in Jesus, you will go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? He said to his friend. And his friend, with tears in his eyes, shook his head silently and then stopped for a moment and said, I believe in this Jesus, but Bob, why did you wait till now to tell me? This is such good news I could have lived every day of my life with, but now I only have such a short time. I had a lifetime that I've missed, but now I'm so thankful you shared it because I'll have eternity. And that's the best news I've had since all of this came upon me. It doesn't have to be that dramatic. It could be a friend. It could be a family member. Someone you're estranged with. But the most important thing you can share with anyone is that Jesus loves them so much that he died to pay for their sins. And that on Easter morning he rose from death to life and promises us that if we believe in him, we have everlasting life too. And as a servant of servants, that's such good news to be able to share. It'll make real difference in people's lives, how they live their life, not only then, but also here. And now may the Lord bless you as you learn how to be a living sacrifice, a servant, a doulos, a slave for the Lord Jesus Christ, serving him with every breath, in every step, in every way, in your holy life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Please join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed give You thanks for being a servant even unto death for us. We thank You for giving Your life so that we might have life, both now and everlasting. We thank You for offering Your life for our forgiveness. We thank You for the pain and the misery and the suffering that You endured upon the cross, and from being separated from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit to pay the price for our sins. We thank You, Lord, for being a servant. Help us, O Lord, to walk and carry our crosses and allow others to see that You live, that You are the reason why our life is lived in the way we live it. Help us with the faith of others as a cloud of witnesses that surround us, like Betsy in the story of the hiding place, who in her own beating saw Jesus and shared that with her sister and how it spoke to her. May our witness unto You through the things we say and do be a witness to those around us, in our own families, at our workplace, inside of our church, in our community. Help our lives to reflect your life given for us. Make us servants. We pray for our church, and we pray for our congregation and school. We ask you, Lord, your blessing to be upon it. And we ask, O Lord, as we look to you for grace and mercy, that you would help and extend it to us as we reach out to this community. We ask, O Lord, that you would bring blessing upon blessing and healing to those who are sick and suffering. And now, O Lord, we ask that you would be with them, comfort them, and bless them. Be with J.C. Chavez and with Bob Gordon and with those who are suffering sickness and who are in need of healing. So into your hands we place them and ask your blessing to be upon them. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. As we forgive those who trespass against us. It's not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave thanks. And he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and after he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, you do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you. As often as you drink this cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated.
Announcements here. You've heard this one from me before. Now, this is the week before. Food and Funds on the 5th. Sunday next weekend is the 5th Sunday of the month when we collect donations of non-perishable food for local food pantry and financial donations to replenish the pastoral discretionary fund. The next slide is for the Tuesday evening, October 2nd. It's the National Night Out hosted by the Orlando Police Department. Support safe neighborhoods. Trinity will be participating within our Lake Yolo Heights neighborhood with our neighbors, and you're welcome to come join us for some fun and connecting with our neighbors. And Peace to Comfort Dog will be invited to come too, so I'm sure that means a lot of you will be interested to come as well. Next slide is for our ministry partner, Live UCF. They're hosting a gala at Lutheran Haven on Saturday, October 13th. So I know I'm going to see Mary Jean there. To celebrate the work of Live UCF, there's going to be a cocktail reception and silent auction beginning at 6 p.m. with a dinner at 7 p.m. During the evening, you'll have the chance to hear about the fall ministries and meet our board of directors, talk with the students and leaders. This is all for Live UCF, I believe. Tickets are available for purchase now on their website, and see the Tryon Weekly for more details. And we have one more slide. Oktoberfest. Okay. Will be on Friday, October 26th, our annual community event. Details for the event, along with volunteer and sponsorship sign-ups, will be available next weekend in worship. So come ready to sign up and help volunteer, and that's always a fun outing. And that's the last one, unless Pastor has any more.
in peace and serve the Lord with joy.